Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, January 16th, is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. And these are today's headlines. At the Angelus, Pope Francis encourages us to treasure the signs of God's love. A migrant caravan headed to the United States from Honduras is stopped in Guatemala, and the Church prepares to mark the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which begins on Tuesday. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. God is always close to us, tender and compassionate, Pope Francis said at the Midday Angelus on Sunday. Reflecting on the day's readings, the Holy Father explained how the signs we read about in the Gospels are clues that reveal God's love for us. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Reflecting on the Sunday Gospel reading, which recounts the wedding at Cana, where Jesus transformed water into wine, Pope Francis explained how this sign at Cana sparked the faith of his disciples. The signs we read about in the Gospels are clues that reveal God's love.
Un segno è un indizio che rivela l'amore di Dio.
The signs described in the Gospels draw our attention to the love that caused them, the Pope said, more than the extraordinary power of their action, showing how God's love is always near, tender, and compassionate. Jesus acted discreetly and saved the wedding banquet from becoming an unhappy event, the Pope went on to say, and it was Our Lady who brought the issue quietly to Jesus' attention. The Lord intervened behind the scenes without making the incident an issue, the Pope said, by having the servants fill the jars with water that became wine. This simple yet amazing sign shows how God acts near and discreetly, the Pope pointed out, making the moment more beautiful and manifesting God's love present in Jesus.
È bello pensare che il primo segno che Gesù compie non è una guarigione straordinaria.
The first sign Jesus accomplished did not consist of an extraordinary healing, but a simple and concrete response to a human need, the Pope noted, saying, this is how God loves to act. And if we, like Mary at Cana, ask him, Jesus is ready to help us, to lift us up. And then if we are attentive to these signs, we will be conquered by his love and we will become his disciples. The Pope went on to say that the Cana Gospel narrative also notes how the water that became wine was of higher quality, when usually it would have been diluted for practical reasons. The Pope said this tells us symbolically how God wants what is better for us and our happiness, setting no limits or requirements and ensuring our joy is complete, never diluted.
Vi suggerisco allora un esercizio che può fare molto bene.
In conclusion, the Pope said it would be helpful if we went through our own memories to recall or discover signs of how the Lord has worked in our own lives and shown his love for us, even in difficult moments. We should treasure the discreet and loving signs of the Lord's nearness and tenderness, he said, and be joyful in our hearts because of them. The Pope concluded, let us relive the moments in which we've experienced his presence and Mary's intercession. And may she, the mother who is always attentive, as at Cana, help us treasure the signs of God's presence in our lives. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
At the conclusion of the Angelus, Pope Francis offered prayers for those affected by heavy rains and severe flooding in various regions of Brazil in recent weeks. Pope Francis said, I pray in particular for the victims and their families and for those who have lost their homes, adding, may God support the efforts of those who are bringing relief. Over the past 2 months, heavy rains have hit several Brazilian towns in the states of Bahia and Minas Gerais, resulting in numerous deaths and tens of thousands of displaced persons. Landslides and rising river waters have caused some of the worst incidents, while emergency officials are monitoring area dams that are already under pressure. Relief efforts are underway in the areas worst affected. Caritas Internacionalis is coordinating aid in close cooperation with Caritas Brazil. The United States and the European Union have also provided initial aid, with Brussels sending 1 million euros in emergency funds to respond to the consequences of the floods. This funding, writes the European Commission in a note, aims to cover urgent needs through the provision of food, drinking water, shelter, and household items. It continues, humanitarian partners will also support the population with health services to mitigate the risk of epidemics. Elsewhere in Latin America, an attempt by a migrant caravan to start a trek from Honduras through Guatemala to the Mexican border with the United States has been nipped in the bud early, as James Bleers reports.
The intention of the migrant caravan, which started its journey in the Honduran city of San Pedro Sula on Saturday, was to gather followers, swell its numbers, reach neighboring Guatemala and traverse Mexico, attempting the long and hazardous trek to the border with the United States far to the north. Not so. And they were in for a surprise, because they only made it to Guatemala, where they were halted by hundreds of soldiers, riot police and other police, with orders they would go no further. The Guatemalans are intent that they will go back from whence they came. The migrants are now between a rock and a hard place in tense talks with the Guatemalan Migrant Institute. The stark options are to stay put if they have the proper ID and pass a COVID test, or it's back home. 36 of their colleagues have already been sent back. Guatemalan officials insist this is to protect the integrity of frontiers and also health. The U.S. Border Patrol has detained more than 1.6 million undocumented migrants in the last year alone. Many more are stuck in a logjam of centers in Mexico. The United States and Mexico have agreed they can stay there until a massive backlog of cases are considered. This is putting huge strain on Mexico, which is requesting U.S. resources. The administration of President Joe Biden is considering a $7 billion aid package for Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador to create homegrown jobs. The question is whether it'll prove enough to stop a migration exodus, which will gather pace as economic as well as law and order conditions worsen. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
In other news, the government of the Netherlands has only partially lifted Europe's toughest coronavirus lockdown orders, prompting protests from bars and other businesses that are threatening to reopen over the weekend despite prohibitions. Stefan Boss reports that the measures underscore broader concerns in Europe among governments about the fast spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus.
Dutch Liberal Prime Minister Mark Rutte said non-essential stores, sex workers, hairdressers, beauty salons and others can reopen under strict conditions until 5 p.m. local time. That's for the first time since mid-December. But bars, restaurants and cultural venues, such as theaters, have to remain closed until at least January 25th.
Van alle kanten.
There's immense pressure from all sides to ease restrictions, but there are significant uncertainties, Prime Minister Rutte says. That's why not everything can open at the same time. So I hope there's an understanding for this policy.
Ik hoop dat daar begrip voor is.
However, it prompted an angry reaction, with owners of bars, restaurants and cultural venues threatening to reopen anyway. Over the weekend, locals flocked to eat and drink at outdoor tables of restaurants in the main street of the southern city of Valkenburg, in open defiance of a lockdown in the Netherlands. Mayor Daan Prevost says the tourist town, devastated by flooding last year, didn't enforce coronavirus restrictions, as he understands the frustration.
This is a demonstration. It's a fundamental right to express how you think about things. And as a mayor of this city, I allow this as a demonstration. It's crowded, but I see happy faces.
Prime Minister Rutte also said that universities and vocational schools would reopen, but only under the condition that students and teachers wear masks. That has prompted critical experts to question this policy's mental and physical impact on youngsters. Health officials have acknowledged that suicide rates increased in the Netherlands by 15% over the past year compared to previous years, especially among young people below 30. Measures in the Netherlands are closely watched by European countries with more open policies, including Hungary, with roughly 40,000 reported COVID-19 deaths on a population of nearly 10 million. Hungary is among the countries with the highest claimed death tolls. Yet, unlike the Netherlands, bars and restaurants remain open. However, the government has pledged that many venues will only be accessible for adults having booster jabs starting mid-February. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Returning to this morning's Angelus, after the conclusion of the Marian Prayer, Pope Francis invited everyone to participate in the upcoming Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which takes place each year from January 18th through the 25th. The theme for this year's observance is "We saw the star in the east, and we came to worship him," recalling the experience of the Magi who came from the east to Bethlehem to worship the Messiah King. Pope Francis said that in a similar way, Christians of diverse backgrounds and various traditions are also pilgrims on our way to full unity, who come closer to our goal when keeping our gaze fixed on Jesus. The Pope encouraged us to pray for Christian unity and also offer up our struggles and sufferings for that intention. Ahead of the Week of Prayer, we spoke with the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, Bishop Brian Farrell, who explains this year's theme.
I've said before that the theme is really an invitation to all Christians to return to our origins, and our origins are in Christ. And here we have the story of the Magi, the wise men from the east, coming to Bethlehem to adore the infant Jesus. This for us is very important ecumenically, in the sense that we will never have the unity of Christians if we do not have the same faith and the same approach, the same acceptance of the salvation history that began in that moment of the birth of Jesus. So I think the theme is very much a call to center our efforts on the person and the mystery and the work of Jesus.
And that was Bishop Brian Farrell, the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. The theme for the 2022 Week of Prayer for Christian Unity was chosen by the Middle East Council of Churches in conjunction with the Pontifical Council in order to evoke the experience of the Three Kings, or Magi. During the week, all Christians are invited to reflect each day on a specific theme as part of the overall theme. You can find those in our article on the Vatican News web portal. On Friday, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis himself will preside at Vespers on January 25th, the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, to celebrate the close of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. That liturgy will take place at the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls, where St. Paul is buried, and will be broadcast live by Vatican Radio. You can follow the event on the Vatican News web portal, as well as our Facebook and YouTube channels. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Also, we invite you to catch all the latest updates on our Facebook page and on our Twitter feed. Many thanks to our sound engineers in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.